podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome back to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a football podcast mostly about opinions that aren't really that serious. Follow us on IG and Twitter at WTATLOfficial. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to right now so you never miss a new drop. This is episode
137.
Boom.
Right, there wasn't even any. You just knew what was going on today.
I'm always prepared.
Yeah, I like that. We didn't even discuss this. There was no prep, nothing. Anyway, how are you guys?
Good. Not too bad. It's been an interesting week of football, I have to say. Some interesting, shocking.
Why do you have to look at me when you say that?
I'm not looking at you, Mark.
I'm just going to say,
I
love the Barclays, man. It just.
Oh, the Barclays. Newcastle, City.
That was Chelsea, a banging game.
Leeds. Ooh. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
I hate everyone.
Well, talking about hating and everyone, Abdi's not here.
That's true. Rah. Listen, Abdi, you know already who that was.
Listen, I can't help myself. I'm closer to the button.
It's true. Today is your day.
It's my day.
And listen, I do know that we've got a one of these magical Abdi voice notes coming at some point during this episode.
We've actually got three.
Three voice notes.
Listen, I'm putting it out there right now. I will fight him. And I haven't even heard them. So I know there's three voice notes worth. I'd say at least 80% of that will probably be.
Man sent you three voice notes. How long are these voice notes?
One is like nearly 3 minutes.
Jesus.
What?
Yeah, no, he went in.
This guy. Man sent a monologue.
Damn.
Bruh.
People are shocked.
I can't believe this guy, man. When did he send these to you? Today?
Yeah, today. Oh,
he's too scared to send them in the group because he knows.
He shook.
Repercussions.
Well, anyway, let's get into it. Ooh. Unfortunately for Mark, the spotlight game today is the, I don't know, it's like a derby for them, I guess. But I don't know what to call it. But it's Merseyside versus Manchester.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Conspiracy.
I could see you hovering. I was like, what button are you about to press?
Well, yeah, so Man United versus Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, you say unfortunately. I actually see this as fortunate. I'd much rather kind of just get it done. And we just focus on the rest. Because there were, up until Monday night, some results where I was just sitting back thinking, oh, I can't wait to cover this on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then obviously yesterday happened, but is what it is. That's the name of the game. That's so, the Barclays, as you say.
This is the Barclays. Just for some context, Man United coming off a 4-0 defeat. Their fans going crazy. They're going to protest. Oh, then they get a shiny new toy in Casemiro.
They're so
completely forget anything that they were talking about previous.
Oh, and they're all wearing the new shirts, by the way, as well.
This is outrageous. How can you be, oh, guys, protest, no one go to the game. Casemiro turns up, they forget what they were talking about.
Do you want to know the funniest thing? I'm sure you have seen that clip of when Casemiro was walking to the ground for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know what? Let's just stop the protest for a sec because I want to go and get a picture with this shiny new toy. It's actually embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
So the game starts, and Mark, let's just get your thoughts, because even before the game started, you were messaging us saying that you weren't, that you weren't too sure about it. Like, how about you just tell us like where your mind was at and why you were thinking that? Because your recent history against Man United has been pearly white.
I swear Man United haven't beaten them in however many years.
I think they've beaten us once in the last 12, or twice now. But before yesterday, it was once in the last 12 or
that
something
crazy.
Like that.
Crazy.
Obviously, we done them 9-0 on aggregate last season.
Mm-hmm. How could we forget?
But
we don't forget.
Trust me, I haven't. But like I said, I put it in the group yesterday. This was about half an hour before kickoff, maybe an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, it was even before team news came out, I think.
And I was looking at it, I was like confused. I was like, what's Mark talking
about? And then team news came out and I had that feeling was enhanced tenfold. Saw one. I don't even know where to start. I actually read something today and this will lead on into a bit of a segue about where I want to go. in terms of certain players. But someone's put a picture up of a starting lineup of ours from September 2018. Now, bearing in mind we're in 2022 now, mm-hmm. nine of the players in that lineup from 2018 were in the lineup yesterday.
No way.
And I just think, obviously, we're going to move on into the game and we're going to cover how that game went. I just think when you're a club, first of all, when you're competing against money machines, you know, your Cities, your Chelseas, United may not like to think they're a money machine, but they get shiny new toys all the time. They're a money machine. Glazers or not, you know, they get the money for signings. It's a whole different conversation about where that money comes from, but they get that money. And you're competing against those money machines. You've also got Arsenal and Spurs drastically improving. Mm. And I just think, where's that energy from us? There's no good standing still in this day and age. Mm. And when I saw that, you know, the nine starting... the nine from 2018 starting again yesterday.
That's crazy.
It just shocked me. I think the only two were
Harvey Elliott,
Wijnaldum. Yeah, so Elliott in for Wijnaldum and Diaz in for Mane. The rest was all the same.
Yeah,
and not good enough. And I will go on to cover players who I think's not good enough, who needs to come out of the team. Obviously, injuries have absolutely ruined us. We're talking 10 plus.
That's crazy. At the start of the season.
At the start of the season. And obviously, so we wouldn't have seen that lineup yesterday had we had a fully fit squad. But it's not good enough. And that performance yesterday wasn't good enough. No performance this season, barring that Community Shield, has been good enough. And that's where I'm at right now.
And probably your Community Shield game was probably the lineup that you would have liked to have seen.
Well, that's the game where I kind of sat back and thought, you know what? We're looking good.
Yeah.
I was kind of edging into this season thinking, you know, having played the most games possible in one singular season, thinking, will there be a bit of a hangover this season? Not too sure. We'll see as we progress. But then that City game, Community Shield, I kind of sat back and thought, cool. All right, we're back at it. Let's go. And then obviously Fulham happened and I thought, all right, that's just a blip.
Yeah.
We'll move forward from that. As we always do, we always react. That's something that we've done. We react on the pitch anyway. We don't react in the market and that's another conversation. But we usually react on the pitch. Then Palace came, didn't react. We played well and we dominated when we even down to 10 men, but result was still the same. It's 2 points dropped again. And then yesterday, don't even get me started.
Were you surprised at the lack of intensity from Liverpool? Because that's probably one of the key things that I mark Liverpool as. They're like intense, in your face, pressure. And yesterday it was almost as if Liverpool couldn't deal with the pressure from United.
Yeah, I mean, you summed it up. From minute one, United did to us what we pride ourselves on doing to others. And we just couldn't handle it. There was nothing. I mean, that midfield three for starters isn't good enough. Barring Harvey Elliott, who I really like, but I mean, we didn't do him any favors last night. But for me, Abdi said it in the chat yesterday, and this isn't a disrespect to the man and the player in James Milner, but in 2022, big 2022, this guy should not be starting games for Liverpool. We're not talking a League Cup game, round two, round three. We're talking we're in the third game of a Premier League season. And James Milner, he started against Palace as well. He started two out of our three league games this season. And that, for me, screams dip into that market. And there's something... There were some weird Jurgen Klopp quotes from after the game about dipping into the market. And, you know, he will try. And that, to me, screams that the owners aren't giving him any money. Or they're giving him money for players who he doesn't deem as good enough.
But linked to that lack of intensity, though, because this is what I honestly think. I think you're starting to see a Liverpool team that's slightly burnt out. The reason why I say that, I'm not comparing Liverpool to Spurs in any way, shape or form, but under Poch, we had that sort of high-pressing game, and I felt that part of that was because we didn't refresh the squad, and you started to see players look a bit tired, and I think that's where Liverpool are going wrong. Like you say, you had all of those players that started for you 2018. That's not good enough. And I think Liverpool fans should have high expectations and should demand more from the owners. Because I think the midfield options, like you say, I like Henderson personally. I know he gets a lot of stick. I don't get why. I rate Henderson. I like Milner. But again, these are players that really shouldn't be starting. But you've had injuries in Thiago. But still, I think...
So in that vein, should Liverpool have been all over Mateus Nunes?
Absolutely. I've said this to you every week. Basuma was early on, and credit to Spurs. You got that done early. You didn't allow anyone to kind of jump in and hijack that. But Nunes going to Wolves. Yeah. I think I said it to Junior.
He was good
probably
well.
On the day or the day after. Yeah. Mm. He's the perfect profile of player that we needed. We need, A, when we're fully fit, obviously you got Fabinho in the six, Thiago on the left of a three.
Yeah,
and then the choice is yours, whether you want Harvey Elliott, Keita. They're the four who I'd be looking at starting when everyone's fully fit.
So other than
but Nunes, just to kind of close off on that point, Nunes would be the one, because let's be honest, you can't rely on Thiago to be fit for 40 plus games a season. He's a 30 game a season man.
That's Kate, just
it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Kate is even worse in terms of injuries.
Mm. Yeah.
And they know this. This is exactly my point. So you bring in a player of the profile of Nunes and you say to him, look, you're not going to come in straight away as a starter, but what you will get and what we can promise you throughout the season is a lot of minutes. Yeah. You can see in this squad, particularly in that midfield area, they don't stay fit. And there's minutes there, and we need to now. I think there's 9 or 10 days at the market left. We need to bring someone in.
So that leads me on to the question I was about to ask. Of who's out there, and excluding Bellingham, because we've talked about it before, who do you want? Who do you think is available?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I honestly think that the Liverpool board now, Nunes was less than 40 million. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, is cheap for a player as good as him. And I really think if all of these injuries happened a week or two earlier, they might have gone in for him. Outside of that, obviously, Bellingham is the aim for next summer, although Madrid are sniffing, I'm reading. So it's not even guaranteed that we'll get him. But outside of that, me personally, I don't even think this is feasible, but this is what I would personally be looking at, is Barella at Inter Milan.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good sign, yeah.
Because he can stay fit, he can play on that, playing either side of the Fabinho on the right of right centre mid, left centre mid. They both have very specific roles in this Liverpool team, but I think he could carry out both. He's the one I'd be looking at. But
anyone in the Prem?
Anyone in the Prem? I've always said I like Douglas Luiz, but again, for me, if we're going to do this, it has to be
the player.
The player.
Yeah. So you wouldn't go for like a Tielemans who's 1 year on his deal?
I mean, if you could get him in for 20 million as a bit of on a 4 year deal as a bit of a let's see how this goes, we know you've got quality, you've got Prem experience, then absolutely. But we need to make something happen soon.
Neves
again
would be worth a lot though.
It just
wouldn't be. I just don't think that one would be feasible in terms of fee, but the one for me is Barella, Nico Barella, Inter Milan.
That'd be a sick signing. All right, back to the game. So, Man United's pressure told in Jadon Sancho. It was a very good finish. He sat down Milner.
Really good finish. By the way, I got to give players stick today. Henderson gave the ball away for both goals. The second goal was...
It was poor. And that's so unlike Liverpool.
So unlike. Honestly, the whole game, I was literally just like... This is so unlike Man United, but I was just looking at Liverpool thinking, what am I watching?
It was almost as if it was like...
It wasn't happening.
They swapped shirts. Yeah. Like, I just couldn't.
I don't know what it is. They need a kick up. They need a kick up the butt.
I think that would be it.
I really and truly think they went into that game thinking they had won already.
Right, okay.
I seriously do. I think they thought that about Fulham as well. Palace was different. We went down to 10 and we battled hard, actually. It's the one game this season with City where I was actually pleased with the performance. But Fulham and United, not what I'm used to, particularly since, you know, you're looking at the last 5 or 6 years.
So, Van Dijk's getting a lot of stick for his defending.
I'm sorry, there are some funny memes, I'm sorry.
There are some funny memes.
Listen, you get memed in this day and age, you get memed, man. It is what it is.
No, it's true.
Memes have to run.
But I love Van Dijk, you know that.
Yeah. Memes have to run. I think with that goal in particular... First of all, let's address the elephant in the room. He definitely should have closed Jadon Sancho down.
Yeah.
What do you think his thought process was?
But that's So prior to that, there were a number of errors actually in this passage of play. Trent doesn't get away with it. Got beat too easily down the left. Gomez not blocking the pass in to Sancho, and then the one for me and I even thought it live, was James Milner just erratically sliding in.
Yeah, yeah. Out of the picture.
No need. Stand him up.
Yeah.
Because if you slide in, you've made, and he's already got time, he's got space, yeah. You've made his decision for him.
Yeah, yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
You've slid in, you're going absolutely nowhere, I'm going to take one extra touch, assess where I'm at then, that's when Virgil needs to close him down.
Yeah.
Too many mistakes and an easy finish. And Milner sliding in prompted Alisson to dive.
Yeah.
It's just a catalogue of stupid errors. But I have to say, Jadon Sancho, everything about that goal, the composure, taking the extra touch, even when he took the extra touch, he didn't shoot straight away. You know, he still took another kind of half a second, yeah. Picked his spot, and there you go, it's 1-0.
Yeah.
Horror show all round, honestly, all round. Like I've just said, I've name dropped Trent, Gomez, Milner, yeah. Van Dijk. I'm dumbstruck because I'm not used to these many individual errors, even across the season, let alone in the space of 1 minute in a 90 minute game.
Do you think you played really badly, or do you give some credit to Man United for the way they played?
I give credit to United, of course. You can't not. Off the back of their opening two results, to come out and play like that, you have to give them credit.
Oh my God, we give them credit.
But listen, you got to give credit where it's due. You have to give credit where it's due.
Absolutely.
And you have to give Ten Hag credit. We were questioning him last week, and rightly so, for the 4-0. But
respect him for the decisions
he
made.
Dropped Ronaldo and Maguire.
Yeah.
And he brought in Malaysia.
He had a great game, by the way.
Elanga on the left. And, you know, another thing that he should probably be praised for is that in the second half, he takes off Elanga, who had been playing well, and he brought on Martial. And that's where the second goal stems from. And Rashford.
Yeah.
We've been talking about, is he done? Does he need to leave? Is it another Dele Alli situation?
I don't know what this guy, all he does when the fixtures come out is just look for those two fixtures against Liverpool. Because it's the only game I see this guy turn up for nowadays.
But do you know what was mad to me, though?
That's marketing.
I can't lie, Liverpool's bench shocked me, man.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at Man United and I was thinking, okay, they're bringing on Ronaldo, Van de Beek.
Ronaldo came on with 6 minutes to go.
I know, but
that's what he's come to.
Point still stands, though. Point still stands. The bench was horror. I'll start naming players that are out. Like, it's not good.
I didn't even know you.
We have to. Half of them were.
Bobby Clark.
Yeah. We had two keepers on the bench.
Is that
yeah, that
Badge
was the
Ketic,
one.
Sorry,
17. Couple of the only attacking player we had on the bench.
Fabio Carvalho.
The rest were keepers or defenders.
Which I'm sure you said that in the group. You haven't got many game changers in the.
I said it.
I said
who's
listen,
Bobby Clark?
Just another young player.
No, but is he like a defender or?
Get away with being a midfielder, but he's not someone who will come and change the game for us and give us that attacking impetus.
And what I will say is that when Fabio Carvalho came on, he was bright.
He was bright. I've been calling for him to start games. Listen, really James Milner, like I said, should not be starting games for us in 2022. He's a good man to have around.
Yeah,
shouldn't be, especially games of that magnitude. Carvalho deserves a chance. We've got Bournemouth at home next. Has to start.
Yeah.
If it were me. And Keita's fit, which I don't think he will be.
God, even he's not fit.
I would be bringing Keita into the midfield and Carvalho up top. Firmino's, I have to say this now, he's not good enough anymore. He's not good enough. I don't know. He spent half the game yesterday at DM.
Yeah.
It's clear to see. Yeah. Like, I love Bobby Firmino. I actually love him. One of my favourite players in the history of the club. But When the time comes, I'm afraid he's lost that spark. And when we really needed someone to stretch that United back four yesterday, he was nowhere to be seen. Listen, I understand you like to drop deep, you know, get a hold of the ball and make stuff happen. But that's not what.
No, because do you know what? Well, it's proper Lacazette vibes. So you know how, like, what we were feeling last season. But that's when you needed someone to be on Martinez. He just had a horror show against Brentford, and someone just needed to be on him.
But
obviously, it was going to be Nunes.
He played all right.
But who was there?
No one was really.
Yeah, like Firmino was not there. Like, I think if there was a striker on him, he would have had more trouble. Mm. And that's what a lot of teams have been targeting with Man United.
Mm.
Well, I say a lot of teams, Brighton and Brentford. But Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, so do you want to hear...
Oh, no. So you've listened to it.
Yeah.
And it is about... It's cool.
No, why are you
about
smiling, Junior? Why are you smiling?
Because it's 3 minutes, but he does address a lot of topics, and Liverpool comes last. So I don't know how to play this. Do I play it at the end when we've talked about everything, or do you want to hear it now?
Let's finish off this game.
Cool.
We'll play that. If he's lucky, we'll play it. decision not made yet. We'll have to listen to his.
So what's your
next
game? What's your next
game? Bournemouth at home.
Newcastle
at home. So actually, what I wanted to say, I was coming to this podcast thinking about a few things, and I don't know if you lot remember. We will go on to cover the rest of the game because United's second goal was good. But I don't know if you guys remember 2017 Spurs at Wembley and you beat us 4-1.
Yeah.
It was the catalyst. It changed our whole season. Yeah. We were so poor up until then. And on that day, we were so, so bad. And after that, everything changed. This is the 2017-18 season. We didn't look like we were going to get top four after that. It was 4-1. Lovren got hooked after 30 minutes. I don't know if you guys remember.
I remember. Unfortunately,
and that right there was the catalyst for the rest of our season. We ended up going on and finishing fourth. This is early-ish Klopp days when fourth and third was a success for us. Middlesbrough final day. Ended up finishing in the top four. That was the catalyst for it. And we won the Champions League the next year. Runners-up or whatever it was. But that needs to be our catalyst. Exactly how that 4-1 loss to Spurs was 4 or 5 years ago. This has to be our catalyst. Now, honestly, there's no more room for us to drop points. City gave us a massive gift on Sunday. Newcastle gave it to us. And it's crazy to say that a draw, one singular draw, is a gift nowadays. But that is a gift because City don't drop points regularly. They gave us a gift. And it was on us to win the game on Monday night and go 2 points behind them. And then all of a sudden, things don't look too bad. Things don't look too bad at all. But
I think it's too early to draw too many conclusions. But you did put something in the group that kind of shocked me. And it's something that I would say is uncharacteristic of you.
Title race done.
Nah, no, I'm
not. Not the overall title race.
I'm not calling it.
Listen. Top four, and really attack all three cups.
I can't.
No,
I say that. Listen, we're five. I know there's 35 games to go.
Yeah.
But this is just how I'm feeling in this moment.
Okay, that's fair.
My opinion might change moving forward, but
Liverpool are the team that can go on. Like, you know, City can go on a run, but Liverpool can go on a run.
We could wake up tomorrow and go 15 on the trot unbeaten. That's the nature of this team. But from what I've seen so far this season, which is what I'm judging this on, and the amount of injuries we've got, the lack of signings, I just don't think we're cut out for a title challenge this season. You're in a bad moment right now,
but I just know Liverpool will pull themselves together. I know people don't like to talk about injuries, but the facts are Nunes is out, Thiago's out. When you get Jota back, those three, they'll be massive for you guys.
It's more than that. We missed one of Konate or Matip would have played yesterday. They're both out as well.
Oh, yeah, got them two as well.
Naby would have played. Our Thiago replacement
really
is injured. It's horrible out
just
here,
10
man.
10 players.
It's horrible
this
out
peak.
Here.
This is peak.
Rashford scored. He actually had a really good game.
He did.
And it was one of the first times in maybe years that I've seen him actually like take on players.
And
actually try. So is Rashford back?
No, he's not back. Listen, I was just going to say, look, these players, if I was a Man United fan, I'd be happy with the result. But I think it's sickening that it's taken up until now to perform for your new manager.
Yeah, I think it's a disgrace. I can say that as someone who held it from them yesterday, but it's a flipping disgrace from the performance they put in at Brentford to the performance they put in yesterday night.
They clearly can do it. They did it yesterday against a top team in Liverpool, right? What was the reason for not doing that against Brentford? You can say, okay, Ten Hag made changes, whatever, but still, we did not see that desire from Rashford. In the Brentford game. Did he play in the Brentford game? I think he did play, mm-hmm. right?
He did play.
So, these players, man, if I was a Man United fan, I would be demanding that same performance in their next game.
They got the exact same. I think they're away at Southampton. They're in the early kickoff this weekend.
Okay.
Well, you have to see a response.
And let's be honest, it's the you can't get much better than currently, at the moment in this league than a Southampton. Let's be honest.
But they have struggled at Southampton.
They have. But my point being is that off the back of their performance last night, going into that Southampton game now on Saturday, they should be able to continue from where they left off. Should. Keyword being should. And we'll see. And if they don't, then I don't know what it is. Can they only raise themselves for big games? And then that's another issue in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll see. We'll see. It's a long season. But for me, actually, the amount of corn I've been giving them, or just laughing while Labdy's giving it, for them to now be a point above us,
it's crazy.
Shocking. Oh, embarrassing.
Man. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, even McTominay had a good game yesterday. I have to say.
I'm going to be honest. Not one of them had a bad game. And Abdi's given him probably the most slander he's ever given a player ever. And I'm not even talking about McTominay. I'm talking about Martinez.
Oh, yeah.
And he was solid. That's why Firmino was... I'm not even going to swear. Firmino was doing my head in.
No, swear, Mark. Swear.
But no, Firmino was... No, because we got explicit on Spotify, yeah, and we need to question people about that because we're not explicit. Abdi is.
Nah, joking.
But we needed our striker to let the midfielders do that job in midfield. Fair enough. Other than Harvey Elliott, none of them can pick up that ball and make things really happen. Let's be honest. But what we needed Firmino to do yesterday was stretch that centre back pairing of Varane and Martinez, and actually what he did all game. They were loving it. Like they probably walked off that pitch thinking that was perfect. Like, let's move on, man.
Just before we move on, Liverpool did score in that game. Mo Salah, inevitable.
I actually thought they were going to come back. You know, I really thought they might have got an equaliser and made it a draw. But
yeah, I thought. Because Liverpool have this sense, like Man City, of inevitability. It's inevitable that they're going to come back. So I was kind of thinking the same thing. But usually when that happens, Liverpool have more clear chances. And Man United defended really well against what was up against them.
The crazy thing is, though, I know I've just been like properly laying into that performance, but I genuinely think, and people can have their own opinions on this if they want, I really think if either Nunes was available or Jota was fit to start that game instead of Firmino, I really think we win that game.
No, absolutely.
Martinez would have struggled. Martinez...
Yeah, he would have. He would have.
It's the Barclays is too physical. Shall we...
go on. Put us out of our misery, please.
3 minutes, you know. Let me get comfortable.
Isn't it, man? Where's the popcorn? Oh, my goodness.
Well, hello, guys. I hope you're all having a great podcast. Unfortunately, I cannot be with you guys today. But I wanted to send you guys a few thoughts and a few questions. Rest in peace, Piss Chelsea. I loved watching them getting spazzed on by a bunch of American youths who probably don't even know the rules of the game. When they claim to have Captain America in their ranks, it seems like the opposing dugout has Captain America. And I loved watching Jesse Marsh doing the Tuchel celebration. Edouard Mendy, you're not Ramsdale. You don't have their facilities for that, big man. Stick to what you're good at. And we're watching you from now on. rest in peace, Chelsea. Liverpool, about that. Losing to the 20th place team in the league. Not good. Milner, Henderson, you know, Firmino in 2022. It's not looking good, big man. I know you got injuries, Mark, but I need you to address some of the howlers we're seeing recently from Jurgen Klopp's men. And also, can you... please tell your centre back to actually try doing some defending, because you know having that aura of being Van Dijk isn't enough to stop goals, as we saw with Sancho. He put his hands behind his back and bent over like he was a referee looking at a penalty decision.
A referee.
Piss off Man United. This ain't gonna last soon. Tanya, I have a question for you. How long is Conte gonna keep on with this first half haramble? Tottenham stinking out every time and then relying on Harry Kane or Son to get him out of jail. Are you going to admit that Bentancur is a pile of shit? Kulusevski, he played well in the second half, so I'm going to have to hold my tongue for this week, but I'm watching him. Elsewhere, Aston Villa. I told you, I'm watching Aston Villa. Steven Gerrard, 3 wins in 12. you know, stinking it out again. Next week when I'm back, I'm going to load up my agendas. A few of them, man, I'm watching you, namely John McGinn. I'm watching you. I'll come over to in a second. I wanted to give credit to some of the best goals I saw this weekend. Kieran Trippier with a banger. Saliba, obviously, my centre back actually defends as well, but he's also, you know, sticking left footed screamers in the top corner. And also, I wanted to give a shout out to Tyreek Mitchell for one of the best crosses of the weekend for Mateta's goal. But yeah, next week I'll be back loading the agendas, and a few of them, man, I'm going to be watching you, and you know, we'll have a chat, is what I'm saying, yeah? We'll
have this a chat. Guy's...
But, man, I'm watching you, yeah? Alright, peace. Have a good one, guys. And Mark, rest in peace.
This always,
Oh my goodness.
Do you know what? It's funny though. The three players he name dropped in terms of Liverpool. You know what? I'm not even take that. That
I can't disagree with anything.
Listen, the three players you name dropped in terms of Liverpool: Milner, Henderson, Firmino, covered them all. Yeah, all three of them not good enough. All three of them not deserving to be in our starting 11.
Like that, Abdi.
So hold that. Thank you. I don't even know what to say. This guy
didn't even go in on as much as. You know, he thought.
Yeah, he sounded a bit mellow today.
But I am going to have to question Abdi's commitment to this podcast. Because what's this? The second voice note in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Second voice note in 3 weeks. I think we've seen
it's
him
not
one,
good,
once in 5 weeks.
Damn.
It's not looking good, Rev.
There's going to be two voice notes in just this one. Three voice notes in this one episode.
It's not looking good, Rev. Abdi, listen. Your commitment's being called into play here.
I heard there was applications going online for Watoto presenters.
That's what I'm hearing. No, but let's address thinking about it, we'll address some of those points when we get onto those games. Yeah.
Okay, so we're done with Liverpool United.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. Mark, relax.
But like I said, it's over.
Yeah.
Oh thank God. No, but like I said, well, thankfully it was a start this week, because last week, I swear to you, I was sitting here for the whole podcast thinking, bruv, we're last.
Yeah.
Like, I have to wait this whole time
to
bang out, or just to cover another disappointment. But it's done now. But like I said, yeah, we've got to use this as a catalyst. As we did 4 or 5 years ago with Spurs at Wembley, this has to be our catalyst. And let's be honest, I'm going to say this now and hope that the boys pull through, but there aren't many better fixtures that you'd want going off the back of a poor start to the season, then Bournemouth at home.
It's true.
So
perfect.
Let's see what we can do with that one, and then Newcastle. So hopefully we can gain a bit of momentum.
All right.
Oh, yeah, we were first this weekend.
Yes. Spurs kicked us off with a game against Wolves, which, if I'm not mistaken, was your third game last season as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. The teams that we've played so far, we dropped points against all of them last season. So
no, you beat Wolves one.
No, we lost 2-0 at home. I was at that game. The last time we played Wolves at home last season, we lost 2-0.
No, I meant, sorry. It was your third game to start the season last season. You won 1-0 as well.
Oh, you mean to start
to go? Yeah, to go top of the league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't even remember that you lost. That didn't happen.
Thank
you. You beat Wolves. Talk us through the game. I was going to say something similar to what Abdi said. I was going to say...
A ramble.
No. I wasn't going to say that. But I was going to say something like, last season, we were... at the beginning of the season, waxing lyrical about Chelsea and, you know, will they ever concede again and all this kind of stuff. And I kind of said, you know what? The performances aren't really matching the results.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're getting away with something.
Yeah. Here,
and I think it will catch up with them. It's too early because... Yeah. New players are bedding in and, you know, systems
are...
Well, they should be during this early part of the season. I mean, Perisic is, but I don't know. There's something about the Spurs team that just screams to me right now that their reliance on Harry Kane and Son might catch up with them.
No, I agree. I think in these three games, I wouldn't say that we're relying on Son. I think he's been...
I mean, historically.
But yeah, of course, historically. And look, I think Abdi raises a good point. At the minute, we're second half FC, I have to be honest. We just don't seem to control games in the first half, home or away. You know, watching us play at home, Spurs Stadium, Spurs fans, you expect, you know, your team to come out and be on top. And watching that game, it was uncomfortable to watch, I'll be honest. I felt Wolves started really well. They were causing us all sorts of problems. Once again, being overrun in midfield. He's not wrong about Bentancur. I actually think he's kind of looked a bit off it these past couple of games. He's looked a little bit lost. A little bit careless. Højbjerg the same. Although he had a better performance in the second half. But yeah, I've not been impressed with the performances. I think you're right. I think the performances don't necessarily match up with the results. At the minute, this early, all I care about is points.
Absolutely.
But yeah, of course, it's not sustainable because we had this under Nuno. The first three games, we won our first three games. We even beat City. But I knew those performances were going to catch up with us, and it happened. So Conte needs to, you know...
But what do you put that down to?
Do you know what? I think I put it down to players just not being good enough. I'm never going to be convinced by Emerson Royale. I think he had a good game, to be fair. He's not been the worst. But I also think players like Son, for example, I think he needs to be rotated, not dropped. Mark corrected me on that. And it's nice that we do have players like Richarlison now to come off the bench. I actually think he's done well. The little minutes he's had, I know he's not scored. I know he's not assisted.
He's not
when
had
he
a shot
came on,
yet.
He was direct. He wanted to make things happen.
From
he was
what,
getting at players.
From what I can remember... came on against Chelsea and swung that game kind of back into
he
your favour.
Just changed things for us.
Not even with his ball playing qualities, just with energy.
Yeah, exactly. But I just, it's a difficult one. I don't know if he'll start the next game. I just think.
What is your next game?
Our next game is Nottingham Forest away, which is not the easiest of fixtures. I think Nottingham
not
Forest.
Not at all. They proved that last season in their cup run.
They've been a decent team.
What, Arsenal at Forest, they Leicester. Gave us a tough one themselves in the cup.
Leicester, they beat 4-0.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think, as I say, there are some players that I'm just never going to be a massive fan of. Royal being one of them. I don't know if I like this double pivot with Højbjerg and Bentancur.
Can I just say something? Yeah. Now that we've got Liverpool out of the way, I can have a bit of fun. Yeah, I was on our Twitter account the other day, and I just need to ask you whether your heads, are you cool?
Am I cool?
Yeah, you're right. Everything good.
Why? What have I been saying?
Saw you on Twitter
going mad.
Tell your followers that Højbjerg is worth 50 million British pounds.
No,
you know what? I agree.
Yeah?
I stand by.
What do you mean you agree? You said it.
Do you know why? Listen, how old is he? Is he like 26? International, yeah? I'm seeing Morgan Gibbs-White go for 44.5 million.
Fair,
whether
that's
you
true.
Don't like Højbjerg or not, the guy will give you a 6 out of 10, right? If Real Madrid want to pay the P, that's what I'm saying. I think he might be worth that. But anyway, look, Wolves, I don't think we performed great. I thought Perisic was brilliant. I think 2 assists in 2 games. I think, for me, he needs to be starting ahead of Sessegnon. Sessegnon, for me, don't cut the mustard. When you've got players like him, the little flick on for the goal...
That was brilliant.
That was, whew, I was like, yes, I need a bit of this. And also his delivery as well. Like, his deliveries into the box.
I mean, arguably,
incredible.
You could say he's the first truly two-footed player to play in this league since Cazorla.
Oh, okay.
This guy's whipping in corners, left, right foot, no problem.
I just love watching him. He's been a good addition. But I think, as well, what it comes down to, Junior, I'm not impressed with the way we've embedded the new signings. I know it's 3 games. But the whole Spence thing, I know you sent it in the group chat. I actually think there might be some truth to that because a lot of people that apparently have like close sources to the club,
in the
closely
nose.
Connected, they have said that apparently Conte is just not keen on Spence whatsoever.
Well, let's for context because they don't know what I sent in the group.
Oh, okay. So basically, Junior sent in the group that essentially Conte is not too keen on Spence and Spence declined a potential loan. Conte is interested in loaning him out. So they say that's the murmurings going on at the moment. But he doesn't want the loan move, which at the minute, I'm looking at the player and I'm thinking that might be the best thing for him. If Conte really doesn't see him in this team, I would rather him get a loan.
That's crazy.
But to me, it's crazy. I mean,
I know Raul's lovely, right? He's a great guy. And, you know, Alistair Gold's even come out and said he's really popular at Spurs. You know, the players love him, the manager loves him. But I just think we need a more... He's all right defensively, but attacking-wise, he's just not
He's actually, of the three games that have been played so far, he's actually top for most of the defensive stats.
Yeah, defensively, I don't
And he's the only he's the only right back to get an assist so far this season.
But no, going forward, I need better crosses, man. I need him to be taking on players, and he's just not doing it.
That's fair. That's a fair point.
As I say, I want Son to improve, and I want New Zealand. Like, Bissouma. I'm not being funny. We're treating Bissouma like some washed-up player. Like, this guy was starting week in, week out for Brighton. I want him to get more minutes. I don't know if it's because he had COVID, maybe, and he didn't have much of a pre-season, but I want to see him play more.
So
he's getting...
What makes you not a fan of the double pivots of, like, Højbjerg and Bentancur?
Do you know what it is? I feel like I'm starting to get a bit frustrated with the formation. I just don't know if I like it. Like, it's not the most enjoyable to watch. And I feel like sometimes we're just getting overrunning midfield... And Conte doesn't seem to be changing things, but then again, maybe that's because he feels we can't play in a back four, which I don't think we can. But I don't know what it is. I keep seeing us get overrun in midfield.
Conte's not really a back four manager, though.
But no. He's not. Exactly. And I still can't help but feel he's not been fully backed. And I know that's rich because we've signed six players, but I have to agree when people say, how much does it really improve our starting 11? Let's be honest.
None I mean, only Perisic.
Yeah, until you've made this point, obviously, but until he gives those players a chance to improve that 11, you're not going to see that.
But look, you can flip it and say we haven't been great, but we've got points on the board. We can only get better, and the new signings they're yet to come. So, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. But I do want an improvement in performances. Absolutely. I mean, I do want to be like. It's one of them ones where I want to watch Spurs and be a bit excited. At the minute, I'm not. I'm just frustrated. I'm anxious. It's not enjoyable. But, yeah. We won. Wolves was a tricky game as well. I have to say, like, I want to give them credit. They've got a great team, Wolves. If they had a striker, though, I will say, boy, if they had a decent player up front, they would have killed us in the first half.
Geddes. Was his name Geddes?
Yeah.
He was...
Yeah, he was a nuisance. Man.
We gotta start calling Wolves Portugal. You know, like the midfield three and the front three, all Portuguese. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keeper, Portuguese.
And Neves, he was causing us all kinds of problems.
Is Johnny Portuguese?
Johnny's Spanish. Semedo, when he's back fully fit.
Yeah, he's Portuguese. Yeah.
Neves was he was great. He was really, really great. So big up Wolves. It was a hard game, but we got the result. Yeah. As I say, we lost to them 2-0. I was at that game. It was raining. I went and watched that game. We lost 2-0. That was when Lloris had that awful, awful game and cost us those two goals. So it's better than last season. As I say, Wolves we lost to last season, we lost to Southampton last season, and we lost to Chelsea. So, you know, we're 7 points better off. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's improvement to me.
You want better performances, but let me tell you right now, I would have preferred in our first three games, honestly, I couldn't care less if we stunk it up and had 7 or 9 points on the board. But hey, we're out here. Only good game we played is Palace and we got 2 points on the board. So I'd much rather be in your situation.
Absolutely. As I say, at this stage, but it can't continue these performances because I just think it will catch up with us. But yeah.
Okay.
I was expecting to for that to be a quick one. That was way too long. I feel like it was a nothing game, really, but...
I mean, it was very boring.
It was boring as hell.
Yeah. To be honest, what we could do, I don't know how you feel about this, just switch it up a little bit if we cover Arsenal now as a bit of an extended one. Jesus. And then the rest of the games, we just brush them through.
All right, okay, cool. So...
I hate Arsenal.
The last game of Saturday was in sunny Bournemouth at the Vitality.
Arteta's you rehearsed this, didn't it?
No.
I can tell.
This is a freestyle.
The way you're smiling, the way you're looking at us, eye contact.
Freestyle.
Why are you looking at me?
Freestyle. At Sunny Vitality, Arteta's men waltzed out, and it was...
These men are doing team huddles at Bournemouth, bro.
Bro, it was awkward.
Embarrassing.
Bro, dude, Do team huddles. Do whatever. Just continue what you're doing.
Disclaimer, I've been watching your All or Nothing. Yeah, I watched the last two episodes. Arteta is a madman.
Nah, Arteta's a... bruv, knight the man.
Man got a light bulb out.
Yes,
like,
Thomas Edison.
You need to Thomas Edison. You need to get electricity.
Yeah, you need to be the light.
Yeah, the light.
I was born in, bruv. When he said that, I was like, yes, I want to be the light. Bulb, bro. You see the size of the bulb I have. Bro, I was holding it. I was like, I want to be the light. I want to be the light.
You can be the light, bro.
Bro, I want to be the light.
Listen, I want to be the switch to turn that light on.
Thomas Edison, Arteta, enough said. 3-0, bro.
Give me more. Good performance.
Odegaard, they were slating him. 2 goals.
Yeah, I don't get the Odegaard slate, you know. I think he's a good player.
Gabriel Jesus.
We need the Odegaard, man.
Gabriel Jesus. More.
Yeah, he's starting to worry me. Bruv. Like, if he continues at this rate, I can't lie. Boy, he's looking at 20-plus goals. I'm not even joking. If he continues
at this rate... Well, he's only scored 2. Let's relax.
No, honestly, he's looking good.
That's 5 GAs right there. Mm.
But you know what? I mean, just outside of the goals, didn't even score on Saturday. Arguably the best player on the pitch.
He don't need to, though, man. He's still the best player. Like you say.
That's what I mean. That for me, is not even... Whether he gets 20 goals or not in the league, and if he does, that's a really big success.
I feel his goal should have stood.
Yeah, well, when you look at the one that stood against us last night, the Rashford one. I actually, when I first saw the still shot,
yeah.
I actually straight away said that's off.
Yeah, I did as well.
But listen, we move on from that anyway. My point being that he could go on and bag, 14 goals in the league? But if he's putting in the performances that he's put in for these first 3 games of the season, telling you now, he's going to be in that conversation for player of the year. I can say that now with chest.
No, 100%.
I'm going to have to be honest. And I'm only here to be honest. I'll give my agendas when I've got them, but there's no agenda with Jesus.
Man,
he's such a player.
And because he's getting goals and assists.
Yeah.
You've needed that.
The first Odegaard goal, where he wouldn't have got an assist, but the goal was all him. That's all him. That goal doesn't happen without his impetus and that kind of...
something out of nothing. It's just...
I feel like he's a player, for me, Arsenal have lacked. And I think he's got that Arsenal factor. Like, you're playing that nice, quick passing football. Like, honestly, I can't lie. I'm jealous of Arsenal right now. Like,
speak more.
I, as a neutral, it pains me to say, the football you lot are playing is exciting. Oh. It gets you off your seat.
Yes.
And... yeah, it pains me to say. I also think Jesus has just been... I think he's the best signing. I'm not even going to lie. I just think... you paid how much for him?
45.
And you've got a bagsman there. And Chelsea, boy, they missed a trick with Jesus. I'll be honest. You have got yourselves a gem.
That's one agenda I'm looking to run today, that Havertz agenda.
Oh,
but we'll get into
that.
Havertz!
But what I will say is that... crap, I forgot what I was going to say.
Talk about how amazing
this guy's too
played.
Buzzing, man. I'm You're buzzed, too man. Happy, bro.
Three wins in three.
You've never seen me like this on this
I don't
podcast.
Even. I don't mind seeing you happy. It's when I see Abdi happy. Yeah, when I have to sit back and kind of calculate my next move. I'm all right.
Saliba scoring screamers. Yeah, Zinchenko holding his head. Oh, my days. It was crazy. Zinchenko's techers are crazy. But what I will say about Jesus is that I never saw this player.
I never saw this player.
And that's why when Abdi first sent the link in the group where we were rumoured with him, and I was like, I was unsure. Because I've never seen him do this, where he just looks hungry.
He creates
something out of nothing. Like, there was the Evans one in the last game where Ramsdale boots up, he wins the header, and he turns him, spins him, he's on the ground, and everyone's falling.
Yeah,
and then against Bournemouth, the same thing, and his strength, it's just beautiful.
Let me ask you a question then.
Ask me.
And listen, let's just clarify, and I'm not doing this to you to burst any bubbles, but I want to clarify before I ask this question, we are just 3 games into the season.
Stop the count.
I bet you want to stop the count.
I just wanted to make that point because it's early days. Yeah. There will be moments across this season. 100%. Like, I personally feel there will be at least 2 or 3 Ramsdale moments. You probably know what I mean by that. Yeah, and there'll be times when you drop points, maybe when you don't deserve it, etc.
100%.
But you've started the season easily as the best team in the league in terms of performances.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I can say that. What has changed for you on the pitch this season when you compare it to last season, the season before, and so forth?
I think the addition of Zinchenko, Saliba, and Gabriel Jesus has massively changed Arsenal. So, like, last season, I think we were functioning or trying to function at this kind of level, but without the personnel. So you can't play this way with Lacazette. Yeah. If Lacazette was on the pitch, I think we win 1-0 at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
I think we win 1-0 at Bournemouth. Gabriel Jesus' movement, his power, everything. Zinchenko picking up pockets in midfield is looking like Cancelo. Like, I'm not saying, and I know a lot of people are getting onto Zinchenko about his defensive stuff, and we haven't yet seen that at Arsenal. Like, obviously, you might say that against Leicester, the two goals came down his side and all this kind of stuff. That's fair, but when we're on the ball, his assuredness, his technical ability is just outstanding. And I think William Saliba, he brings that Van Dijk-esque aura where it's just like everything is easy. Like, you're going to run? I'll run and I'm faster than you. Oh, I'm stronger than you. Oh, I'm going to win this tackle. I'm not going to start.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
And I think that's, when you bring this in, I just think it's elevated us. Like, Saka and Martinelli and Odegaard, they know who they can find now. Jesus is there. Before, they looked in the box, no one's there. Mm-hmm. There wasn't an Arsenal shirt in sight. And now they got Gabriel Jesus. And they're all like, and there's a vibe at Arsenal. It's just like everyone. And I think, you know, the All or Nothing has showed me, like, the togetherness that they have. And people think Arteta's crazy.
He's a nutcase, I can't lie.
But what he's done, he's completely transformed us. If you see the first 11 we had in his first game against Bournemouth, compared to, we had Socrates, David Luiz, Mustafi playing, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, like,
trust,
and now
the process,
and that was our back four or back five or whatever.
No,
it was.
It's true. You know, he's been patient, and I think that's where, for me, the expectation has to come now this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got rid of all the dead wood, well, the majority of. He's got all of his players now. You've got a demand this season.
And it's exciting.
And I think it's achievable. I honestly think top four is achievable for Arsenal.
I have to think so. I have to agree. And also, when you're hearing stuff like this here, like, obviously, it's three games in. We're top of the league.
Yeah.
It's three games in. People getting carried away, whatever. But when you're top of the league, three games in, but you're hearing that you're linked with Pedro Neto, that's exciting,
that
man.
One needs,
like,
to,
and this come from
things.
The Don Ornstein, bruv. It's exciting. It's like when Liverpool signed Jota. Like, that came out of nothing, and it just happened.
I saw FFP claims.
No, that's they're bugging out, bro. Uh-huh. No one wants to see Arsenal eat, bruv. That's the
FFP though.
There's no FFP, bruv. We're fine. They need to be looking into. Do you know who FFP? Look at Man United. Look at Manchester City. Look at all these.
You know, by the way, speaking of FFP, you know, Spurs have to spend 400 million to even be considered breaching FFP. Just a fun fact.
Which one's the round of applause?
No, don't. You was gonna press the cricket button.
No, it was a sarcastic round of applause. I'll be real.
Oh, stop it! No one can use that against me. That's my button.
No, your that button is this one.
Oh, that is my button.
Anyway,
what's the orange one?
We'll press it. It's laughter, but
oh my god!
Hey, we've got a couple of buttons that we're not treating the listeners to, you know.
There's
know
the Abdi one.
You know what? Little sneak peek for the listeners, yeah. Especially while Abdi's not here, he soft banned us from using that against him, you know.
Yeah.
He was so rattled. But that will come back. But let's get back into.
Yeah. So I'm just excited for the season. And I know this is a young team still. I know that there's going to be peaks and troughs, and I'm just happy supporting my team. This is the happiest I've been as an Arsenal fan in the longest time. And you know when you used to come to the podcast, yeah, and you always see Mark smiling, and we're all depressed.
Yeah, it's nice to see.
And like even when Mark was like, oh, you know, we lost, but we'll be bounced back next week. That's how I feel now.
Okay.
Even if there's a defeat, I'm like, we'll bounce back. I'm here for it.
Damn.
I like the players. There's not a player in that starting 11 that I do not. There's one. There's number five, but we won't talk about it. But
look, you know what game I'm looking forward to? If Man United,
Arsenal Tottenham.
No,
that's coming up. You know,
it's coming up
October.
You're saying that with vim. Everyone, just chill out for a second.
Chill, you need to beat Man United. This is where I need to.
That would be a really good. Where is that?
It's Old Trafford.
I need to see a change in Arsenal now with the big. To be fair, you beat Chelsea last season, but anyway, if you beat Man United at Old Trafford, I'll be like, okay.
No, there's a certain set of fixtures. I think it's week 10 onwards, where you've got City, Liverpool, then someone, and then Spurs or something like that. What, yeah. Is it that?
Yeah, it's that.
Thankfully for you, they're all at the Emirates, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But then the second half of the season,
you've got to go away to all of those teams. But that, for me, is where I sit back and really be able to understand where I feel this Arsenal team is.
Listen, you're playing us.
No, listen, it's actually Spurs, Liverpool, Leeds, Manchester City.
Is that Leeds game away?
No, yeah, it's away.
I know the Spurs, Liverpool and City are at home, but that's a tough run of four fixtures with Leeds away sandwiched in there.
I know I've been talking very
just ask Chelsea about our Leeds game.
I know I've been very excited, but
you're allowed to be excited.
No, but you can ask Mark. Like last week I said the game that scares me is Old Trafford because we never turn up at Old Trafford,
yeah.
And Man United love to turn up against us. And in the Premier League history, we've scored two goals there three times and never won.
I think you're winning this time. I get a bad
Tanya,
thing.
May the Lord hear you and may it happen. because I'm just enjoying.
Listen, I've given you guys credit, all right? But
top of the league, bruv.
You lose your next game.
Nah, please. Bruv, we got Fulham at home.
Fulham, you've been blessed with these fixtures. I can't lie.
And then
Villa.
Yeah, no, you know what? Yeah. Mitrovic, yeah? Come on, my guy.
To all the haters, yeah, who say, oh,
they got Mitrovic.
Look who they've played. Listen, you have to beat what's in front of you. And previously, we've beaten a team that we lost to last year, Crystal Palace. We got battered there, 3-0. We won 2-0.
Palace is a hard fixture, but...
We beat Leicester, who people said at the start of last season would be replacing us in the top six.
No, you beat Leicester a lot, let's be
real. That was the season before.
You do well against Leicester.
Whenever, man. Whenever. Whenever.
You've lost your train of thought. I can see it in your eyes, bro.
We would have 100% away game.
Can I ask, why is your keeper, though, giving chest about beating Bournemouth, though? Why is he like,
because
we come here and da 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 da. I'm thinking,
yeah, because he's coming. Where did he come from?
Oh.
Enough said then.
But still, man.
No, there's
still.
No but still.
No, why? You... No. I've got to find it now. No. I've got to find this. No,
Tanya.
Mark, that's uncool.
Tanya, you, Basuma, was running laps at Stamford Bridge.
Listen,
after a draw 25 minutes
no one is coming on here.
25 minutes after.
And you celebrated that draw.
No.
We never win at Stamford
Bridge. No, Tanya.
The way we
Tanya.
I love this game.
Tanya, I will never ever begrudge your players celebrating...
Man.
As hard as they can at Stamford Bridge, whatever. 25 minutes after, man's running laps.
Yeah, big him up for that.
No, man, what are you doing?
Big him up.
You played 10 minutes.
All right, it was a bit embarrassing, but let's move on. Come on.
Man was, with his shirt, was going, ole, ole.
He's just building that bun with the fans.
No,
right?
Oh, I love him. I love that. Anyway, move on.
Nah,
top
of the league. Yeah, 100% record. Only team left.
Your
confidence.
Listen.
No.
I'm gonna say this right now. I don't think you have ever come on one of these podcast episodes.
Never been
with
like
this much vim.
This needs to change.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
And by the end of the season, it might not appear again. But for
you gotta give it when you can give it, man. It's the name of the game. It's the name of the game.
You're looking up, isn't it? Don't worry, we're looking down.
Please don't ask me that question.
It's all right, Tanya. You're still looking for a Ramsdale. You guys are rattled,
man.
Nah. She's looking for a Ramsdale quote.
I'm cool. you'll get humbled soon.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But for right now, I'm living in the moment.
You're in a good moment. I'm happy for you, Junior.
And the listeners probably never heard me like this before.
Exactly. Please. You're starting to sound like Abdi. No. Now, can we talk about Chelsea, please?
Well, we got Palace, Villa first.
Oh, man, then, you know what? I can't lie. Mark, you ain't going to like this. Your boy Gerrard's in trouble, man.
Yeah, I think so.
He is on thin ice. Proper. Because I bigged up Villa last season. We don't need to say where I thought they would finish. But anyway, they got good players. And I just think they are massively underperforming. And I think Gerrard needs to be doing better with that team.
It's a strange one because when he came in, I know it's new manager bounce, da 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 da. But he, like you said, with the players he has, he should be doing a lot better.
Oh yeah.
And because he with Rangers, he was doing I don't know. Sometimes it just happens in a club, innit? Like someone comes to a club and it just clicks. I don't know if it's not clicked at Villa, if there's something behind the scenes that is not, but there's something not right. And I can't really put my finger on it, because when you watch it, they kind of just look stale, and they shouldn't look stale with the players that they have.
He's not even been there that long. They should still have that bounce,
yeah,
in my opinion. It's Steven Gerrard. I don't know if he's not getting through to the players or what. I don't know. It's a strange one.
But when you compare it to Palace, it's evident to see the improvements that they've made. Absolutely. Even this early on in the season.
Absolutely. Palace, that's my team, man. I can't lie. Hang on.
No, you're having a stinker. Okay. What did you just say? Spurs is my team.
Are having a stinker. You've gone from Everton to Villa. Everton to Villa to Palace. But you see the passion you just said that, yeah. It's actually worried me.
She's wearing a Palace shirt. If you guys can't see that right now.
I've got a soft spot for the minute. Like, I love Mandan Palace.
When they beat you 3-0 and Zaha was doing bits and you were crying.
Screw them then, yeah, obviously. But I don't know what it is. They've just got this like vibe over at Palace. I like what Vieira's doing.
I do like what
Zaha is on smoke. Did he not score a hat trick in that game?
No, it was two.
Oh, was it two? Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know why. I feel like I checked the score and he scored three, but anyway.
No, he missed a pen.
He's looking good. I love Eze. Oh. I love Elise. Mateta. I like all their players, man.
Eze has to be my favourite player.
Just I love him.
Outside the top six. Like, I know there's.
I actually love him.
Saint-Maximin and these man there, but Eze is just unbelievable to watch. He's so skillful. Do you know what? He's graceful.
And you know who else?
He's graceful.
You said that with such grace, ironically.
Special shout out, Anderson. We were linked with him, and I'm looking at him now and I'm thinking, damn.
My guy is spraying passes.
Man. Yeah, the pump. Mate, ridiculous.
And as Abdi said, that Mitchell ball to Mateta.
I can't lie, Palace might get top four, you know? I can't lie.
Right, everyone just chill. What I will say
about
Palace,
you see when she said
though,
Everton were going to win the Champions League again. Now she's going to Palace.
You're moving
four.
Mad.
All right, top eight then.
That was kind of be where I was going to go with this one. So you've obviously got your traditional top six, and everyone kind of, I guess, is in agreement that top six will probably be the top six this season, yeah. Barring any kind of surprises.
Hopefully Chelsea fall out. Sorry, Tony.
But a point I'm making here is that. You know, you had West Ham last season trying to break up that traditional big six and get into top six. Leicester previously. And I really think if Palace can keep this up, they can be that team, not necessarily to challenge for the top six, but
around
kind of leading the rest of the pack. If they can keep these performance levels up, Palace, Brighton is such a good shout. Palace and Brighton, if they can keep this up, you're looking at top half finishes for both of them.
Let's be honest, them two teams, I think they're better than West Ham at the minute, they're better than Villa at the minute, they're better than Everton at the minute. You know, I think they could definitely break into that, 100%.
Well, I don't think they'll break into it, I'll be honest, but I think they will be the best of the rest.
There's also the elephant in the room, which is Newcastle.
Oh.
Also a good shout. They'll be...
Also a good shout.
Also a good
and
shout.
And I think Tanya alluded to it before, but Wolves... They've spent quite a bit.
They look good as well.
They did this last season where they lost their first three games and then, they drew against someone.
Oh, yeah, they're 18.
Yeah. They just haven't convinced me yet. This switch to a back four, which I'm in favour of.
Yeah.
I view back five as horrible. Like, I'm not... Sorry, Tans, and same with Chelsea. I'm just not a fan of it.
Yeah.
Really not a fan of it. So I'm massively in favour of that switch to a back four. Whether it's working or not, time will tell.
Yeah. I think when it clicks, because they create so much. Yeah.
Well, you've got two unbelievable centre backs in there, Collins and Kilman.
Yeah, Kilman's a baller. They look better without Cody, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
They actually do.
But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, when it clicks, because they're creating so many chances, just not taking it at the moment.
Yeah. I think they need to start Jimenez.
Yeah.
Because outside of him, there's no one really who regularly will put that ball in the back of the net.
When he came on against Spurs, it did get a lot better. But we've already talked about Wolves. Palace, I'm liking what I'm seeing.
I love it. Honestly, I love it.
They're signing good players. It's just a vibe, like you said over there.
Yeah, and even like Mark said it, I think, last week. When you their fans, when you think back to the football they had under Hodgson, like compared to now, like it's so exciting. Like genuinely, I look forward to a Palace fixture. I'm like, I want to watch Palace. Like, obviously, you've got your own team that you always want to watch, but they're another team in the league where I'm like, yeah, I want to watch Palace.
Meanwhile,
these
times when Palace versus Villa, Abdi's watching Everton versus Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, this guy's
a madman.
He's different, isn't it?
Abdi's a full on sicko, bro. He watched the whole 90 minutes of this game.
What
an idiot. That's a brilliant segue as well, I've got to say.
So why is he not here? Did he do a voice note giving us an update about the game?
He didn't. Unfortunately, he did not give us a voice note about the
what
game.
What kind of honestly.
I forgot to play Abdi's voice note about Arsenal.
Oh, God.
Wait, just before we go on to...
I cannot believe I did a whole 2 minutes and 55 seconds without mentioning Arsenal. Properly, I mentioned Saliba, but yeah, I just wanted to really quickly say, guys, the reason I'm not here is because the signal isn't good from that far high up in the building down near the bottom, namely Mark. I can't really hear you, and you know, 3 wins out of 3, I want to actually let you guys know that you know, this league is being wrapped up, 114 points, because I can't see where you stop this Arsenal super team. Add Pedro Neto to the team and it's pretty much wrapped up for next season as well, and the Champions League.
Wow. Oh, for goodness sake, honestly.
That is Abdi on form.
Yeah.
But Everton versus Nottingham Forest, it was a pretty drab game. Everton desperately needed to win. The two goals came in the last 10 minutes of the game, 1-1.
Yep.
When are Forest going to stop buying players?
Yeah, I saw they were interested in Reguilon. They might be interested in Tanganga as well. I'm thinking, take them please, but my goodness. When are they going to stop?
They're playing real life football manager.
I don't know. I feel like they're overdoing it a little bit. I think it's going to backfire on them. How are they embedding all these players? I don't know.
What is it at now? Like 16?
It's 16 now. Yeah.
Is there actually a rule to how many transfers you can make in one window?
No. Well, FFP, like, how much you can spend.
Yeah, how much you can spend, but genuinely, like, in terms of number, there's no limit.
No. But there's a limit on how many players you can actually have in a squad. But, yeah. Let's move on. The classic of West London, Fulham versus Brentford.
Good game, wasn't
Great
it?
Game.
Very good game. Tony and Mitrovic.
Oh,
show.
Tony, man.
But
honestly,
let's talk about quickly... I don't know if you guys have seen Mitrovic's comments.
Oh, no, what's he been saying?
What, about Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think they were together at, was it Newcastle?
Yeah, they were together at Newcastle.
Why? What did he say about Tony?
So he was like, he goes, my idol was Alan Shearer and it's natural for players to have idols. And he goes, I think I'm Tony's idol.
Because I don't know if you see, so basically Tony, when he equalised to make it 2-2, he did Mitrovic's celebration.
At
Mitrovic's home ground as well.
And then he said that.
I don't blame him for that one, I can't lie. Why did
it's definitely like banter.
Oh no, 100%, 100%. Yeah. And Tony seems
but
like
he
the
got
type
him
of,
there,
but,
he did get him there.
He does seem like the type of guy to run banter and to be alright to take it. But Mitrovic was on form as well. Like,
he's looking good.
Not just on the pitch, but on the microphone as well. Because I saw another thing that he was saying, like, he broke, I forgot his name, Kearney's... window.
I saw that.
He said, and then the reporter was like, oh, like, did you feel bad about it? He's like, no. I was like, I felt great about it because that guy is so like stingy that he won't spend any money. I'm glad he had to spend a bit more money.
I love that. I love when players are just normal human.
He's a character.
I like that. Characters.
And scoring a winner.
Listen, I can't lie. That, what's their manager? He was at Wolves, wasn't he? What's his name?
Silva.
He's doing what I think Fulham look. They look all right.
He was at Everton, though.
Was he at Everton?
Yeah, it was at Everton.
Was he not at Wolves?
Watford and Everton.
That was Nuno.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Oh, yeah, let's not remind me.
Marco Silva. But, last-minute winner in a derby. Stuff you dream about, really. Mm. And we questioned if it's early, but we questioned if Mitrovic could continue scoring in the Premier League so prolifically how he did in the Championship.
So far he started well. And listen, I've got to do this. We've got a question, Brentford. Look, we asked that question of United. How can you go from losing 4-0 to Brentford and then putting in that performance you did against Liverpool on Monday night? Same goes to Brentford. How you can beat United 4-0 one week and then the next week you're losing 3-2 to Fulham.
100%.
Obviously, it's Barclays. It's what we love.
Yeah.
But you've got to ask the same questions. It is only fair. I don't know. What do you think that was from Brentford's point of view?
I think they started sloppy because they gave two goals that they shouldn't have given away to Fulham. Credit to them, they fought back, and Tony did have a goal disallowed as well. And I thought Brentford were the most likely to win the game after that. But Mitrovic, last minute.
But listen, you can't
get into these positions where you're giving sloppy goals away and you're having to chase games. You just can't do that in the Premiership. It's like you need every game, you need to play like you did against United.
Oh, absolutely.
But big, big result for Fulham.
Absolutely.
All points on the board, early, late in the season, particularly for newly promoted teams, are massive.
Yeah, they're having a great start.
So, yeah.
And just a little thing as well, Damsgaard's still to come into this Brentford team. So
I saw Thomas Frank pre-match press conference, because all the League Cup games, minus clubs in European football, are this midweek this week.
Some starting right
saying
now.
Damsgaard. Oh wow, there you go. And
Bolton.
He's saying, yeah, Damsgaard will get his first start.
Love that.
Will be good That'd to be see because he's an exciting player.
Moving swiftly on to Leicester, the King Power Stadium against Southampton. Yes. The Rock continues. They went 1-0 up with a Maddison free kick, and then Shea Adams.
I think Rodgers is in charge. I'll be surprised if he lasts.
I'll put it down on. I joined this predictions thing at work. And one of the predictions was first manager to go, and I actually put Rodgers.
You could see
it back end of last season.
Yeah.
Didn't make a single sign in this summer. Fofana looks like he's going to go. Maddison is coveted. I don't think he'll go anymore at this point. But just when you don't strengthen, what do you expect?
They could lose Tielemans as well.
Off the back of a poor season anyway.
Yeah. Well, I got a notification from Sky Sports 2 hours ago. Leicester reject a third bid from Chelsea for Fofana.
How much?
I feel like that's going to become a really sort of nasty situation because he wants to go Chelsea.
70 million.
I think to keep... I mean, you've got to just take the money. I think they're in a situation where they need it. I don't know if they've got money issues. That's why they're not signing
players. Well, they can't buy... I said it like 3 weeks ago. They can't buy players unless they sell them.
I mean, how much do they pay for Fofana?
Like 20?
Yeah, not a lot. But it looked like they're dragging out this Fofana, and fair play. Look, you wanna get the most possible for your players. But the longer they leave it,
the less time they have to react. But I think if you're Leicester, you wanna sell other players over Fofana.
Of course. Fofana's value is not gonna plummet this season.
And 70 million, they're not gonna get better than that from anyone.
I think they were counting on Tielemans going. And the fact that this has dragged on has given the power to the player because he's only got 1 year left.
Yeah.
And I think they were counting on that happening earlier so that they could go out and spend money. But it is what it is, isn't it? But shout out Southampton. They've actually
recovered.
After the Spurs game.
Yeah.
They drew after being 2-0 down and they beat Leicester, which is a good result for them. Moving on to the game everybody wants to talk about.
I have to say, listen, if Abdi was here, he would be... Just count yourself lucky if you support Chelsea and you're listening to this, that Abdi's not here today. I've got to put that out there.
Ellen Road was rocking.
Rocking.
Koulibaly saw red.
Mendy saw... I don't know what he saw.
Listen, can I just say, this is what you get, Tommy Tuchel, for stepping to the Don. Conte, I told you last week, and this is what happens. Don't do it again.
And that's his karma,
That's his karma.
Abdi was saying like he didn't know any of, like, this was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, that he didn't know any of the players that Leeds were signing, and I mentioned the American Donny, I don't remember his name, but Aronson Adams. They've got another one, signed two Americans, one is Brendan Aarons. Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson.
The guy who scored the first goal.
Yes. Brendan Aaronson. He's very good.
That guy, Jesse Marsh, has come in and they look a lot solid as well defensively.
People were calling him Ted Lasso. And listen.
He kept them up.
Ted Lasso is doing bits.
Harrison as well.
You've got to give him credit. Harrison, Rodrigo.
They're playing good football.
That Leeds team. They're playing good football.
And you know what? This is why I was so frustrated with us. Leeds came out and they were like, "Nah, listen, we're gonna bring it to Chelsea." They played with no fear, confidence, and they absolutely terrorised them for the whole game. Honestly, Chelsea had zero answers, zero. Koulibaly, and I loved it.
Koulibaly got turned every single chance.
He got turned.
We've got to have serious conversation with Abdi about his talent identification, though. He was calling Mendy the best goalkeeper in history about two weeks ago.
He's only going to concede four goals ever in history of life.
He needs all the smoke, because if that was a Lloris, if that was any other goalkeeper...
He deserves the smoke. Yeah, yeah, like,
he deserves everything.
The thing is with Mendy is that it's clear to see probably the weakest spot in his game
is playing
with the ball at his feet.
He
gets caught out time after time after time, and that has to be the final straw. And there are other aspects to Mendy's game as well that aren't good enough. And I just don't think he's
in
that.
What are you saying? They should bring in Kepa, yeah?
Mate, listen.
That's their next option.
I really don't think Mendy is...
they were saying world class.
I don't think he's made out as... I don't even know where I'm going. He's not built up. He's not made out what he's been built up to be.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Got
yes.
that one out
yeah,
in the
he
end.
Did. Yeah,
he's just... I just think he's... listen, people... this might come back to bite me. I just think he's an average Premier League keeper.
Yeah, I think he's average as well.
He's a good shot stopper, and that's... Yeah.
I think them winning that Champions League, it's given them... I don't know. It's allowed them to massively overrate a lot of the players.
Thank you, Tanya. This is the segue we all needed. Havertz.
No, it's shite Havertz. That's what I'm calling him from now on.
And this is why we're explicit.
Shite Havertz.
This is why we're explicit.
All the energy about certain players that cost a lot of money. Your Pepes. Who else? Who's a big money signing?
Sancho.
Sancho. What about him? What's he done?
Yeah. Can I just say, Chelsea fans think they're slick. Yeah. They're going on Twitter and they're going, oh, okay. He only cost 72 million. Blah. It was 90. I do not forget. It was 90 million from Bayer Leverkusen. 90 million for 11 goals.
Madness.
It's not even a goal. Is that he's looking lost out there. He's looking lost out there. Bro, I'm being dead serious.
He's
like,
lost. He's a lost child.
I'm just singing the goals because he plays the furthest forward. And obviously, at Leverkusen, he played behind the striker. But 90 million is 90 million. And it's been three seasons. We're in the third season now. So
he scored the Champions League winner. So.
Yeah, and that's what he's living off.
I know.
He's like one of those people. Do you know One Hit Wonders?
Yep.
That's him. He's living off that one song.
Peter Andre, Mysterious Girl.
Yeah, he is living literally off Mysterious Girl. That is him. He's going to be on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. He's going to be on Celebrity Big Brother. He's going to be on all them shows. And that's what he's living off. And Chelsea fans will hide behind. And next week it'll be, it was only 60 million. No, it was 90.
And I'm sorry, it looks like so far the Sterling signing is going to make zero difference. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because... He just looks lost already. I think he looks lost.
Yeah, he didn't have the best game.
He didn't have the best game. And then Gallagher played. He started.
Oh, you put some mad vim for that one. Like he's Spanish.
Gallagher. I do like Gallagher. He played. I mean, again, it's not his position, is it?
Yeah, listen, I actually felt sorry. He's the one player on the pitch that I felt sorry for.
Marco Cucurella. Lost.
Yeah, he had a howler of a game. Yeah. Howler.
And this is why, and another thing is, Chelsea are playing arguably one of the best right backs in the league as right centre back. That needs to stop.
That needs to.
They're cutting out so much of their creativity on the right by playing Reece James as a right centre back.
Tuchel, man. The thing is, it's difficult because you don't know the expectations of these new owners, but I'd like to think top four is the minimum. And if he doesn't get top four, you have to say he's...
Now, listen, if Brendan Rodgers is next, Tuchel's right behind him.
Yeah, because I think on the odds, it's him, Tuchel and...
Moyes, maybe.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Is it Moyes? I don't know. But listen,
I loved it, I'm here for it.
I can't
lie. If you're a team that lost, just think it wasn't as bad as Chelsea, Mark.
Yeah, and you guys, listen.
Chelsea
true.
Lost. I could
enjoy that one. We hadn't
league.
Even played at that point. Yeah, I was just sitting there enjoying it.
What was Koulibaly doing, man? Man was doing like clothesline from hell.
Welcome to the Barclays. Man thought because he stuck one power driver into the
against us. Who you always turn up against, by the way.
That he was here and he was announcing himself. Like,
I can't lie.
On,
when
man.
They play us, yeah, I'm gonna say Tottenham tax. I can't lie.
Barclays is different. People realize that when they come here. Like listen, Varane was very good yesterday, but how long has he been here now? He lost, but can't barely get into that United team.
It's true.
Barclays is a different kettle of fish.
Oh, I love it.
I just love it as well, honestly.
Who's Chelsea got next?
I just checked. They got Leicester at home. Battle of the two favourite managers to get a sack.
Well, let's hope it's like a 0-0 boring draw.
Could be. The way it looks.
And then two people sent off from each side.
Yes, that would be great. Wait, did someone get sent off in the Chelsea game? Oh, yeah.
Koulibaly, you were just talking about it.
Oh, my God.
But you got to credit Leeds, though. I know we did at the start. Fantastic, but man. I think we've got to end this little segment on Leeds because unbelievable.
Great.
And listen, Jesse Marsh had a lot of doubters and he's proven a lot of people wrong. But like I said about Arsenal, I said we're only three games in, I will say the same about Leeds and I'll say the same about us in terms of, and Chelsea in terms of the not the greatest start. There's a long, long way to go.
And but if they get their signings,
you'd rather start well than not. Yes, and that's what Arsenal have done. That's what Leeds have done. Yeah. That's what Brighton have done.
Spurs.
Newcastle.
Spurs? Yeah.
Points wise, performance wise though. But if we're talking performances, definitely Arsenal, Brighton, Leeds, Newcastle.
Yeah, Brighton,
you could probably stick City in there.
Run that back.
I'm just being honest. These teams have started the season well.
It's absolutely fair.
And now the onus is on them to carry that on, and the onus is on the rest of the league to catch up.
If Chelsea sign Aubameyang for fun and they're still rubbish, too short.
Listen, Aubameyang is washed.
I do think he'll do well at Chelsea, I can't lie.
No, he is washed.
We'll see.
No. We don't need to.
You'll be hurt though if you lose Chelsea, innit?
We got Gabriel
Jesus. Imagine if you done the backflip.
We got Gabriel Jesus. In the Chelsea kit. We got Gabriel Jesus. I know you're trying to trigger me. It's not working.
To be honest, again, I'm not even looking to jump to the defence here, but it's happened so many times now where you've seen some of your Arsenal legends in. Well, I don't know. Would you class Aubameyang as an Arsenal legend? But Ashley Cole and Fabregas in particular.
Yeah. Okay, those
would have hurt.
Those hurt.
And softened Aubameyang the blow massively for stuff like
Aubameyang,
this.
Aubameyang, stop, man. We got Gabriel Jesus.
All right, okay, move on.
Aubameyang's missing sitters for Barcelona against Levante. I don't care about. Bro, they can sign him. Pay him 250,000 a week.
They probably will anyway.
I don't care.
They probably will.
Moving on to number three in line to get sacked, Mr. Moyes.
Listen, these West Ham fans here.
Tanya, always.
God, give it to them. Just give it to them.
Because they need a bit of a humbling, right? They got carried away. You know, you got to Europa League. Oh, yeah, we're in the final. Woohoo! Happy, happy days, right? You are where you're meant to be, my loves. Declan Rice, though, I'm not going to lie.
Wow. Do you know how patronising that was? I swear to God, if I was a West Ham fan listening to this, I'd be asking for your address.
Okay, anyway, listen. What I will say, though, with West Ham fans, I would not have been happy if my player came out and said, oh, what are you expecting? We're not Man City. Did you see Declan Rice say that?
Yeah.
That's cheeky, man.
That's
sorry.
A horror comment, I've got to be honest.
Performances, mate. Performances. Of course, West Ham fans are not expecting you to perform against these teams, but performances. How can you say we're not Man City, we're not expected to win every... Do you know how great Captain saying
he's
that?
He's talking every game. Start by winning a game, first of all.
Exactly. They've not scored a goal so far. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. They had the best weekend.
They scored three goals. Did you? You enjoyed the South Coast, yeah?
Junior, whatever you don't even... Because when they're scoring against that...
They scored three
carrier
goals
bag FC, it just don't count. I'm not having that.
It sounded like an evil corporation.
But yeah,
not
Moyes
having
is in charge. I mean, have their new signings even been? What about Skamaka? Is he played?
No, he's been coming off the bench.
That's where I feel David Moyes is getting it wrong.
What is he doing?
I'm going to be honest with you, and I like him as a person, but Antonio's done out here now. He's done out here. Skamaka needs his chance.
Yeah. You need for dear life.
You bring Cornet in, you've got to play him off that. Listen.
You're rude.
No, Antonio, listen, they're Platts, my brother. Listen, they're holding on for dear life. Just get rid... Anyway, you carry on.
Mark was in full flow.
I was. Listen, do you?
Sorry.
You got a lot of pent-up...
Yeah, man, let's
like,
get it out.
Anger, I don't know, frustration. But yeah, listen, if you're David Moyes, now it's got to be the time. I know he gave them that start against whoever it was in the week in the
evil
conference
Danish
qualifier.
Team,
but he's got to go into his next league game and he's got to start Bowen, Skamaka, Cornet. And if it was me, I'd get Benrahma in the 10. And then his usual double pivot of Rice and Soyuncu. He has to switch it up. He's got to freshen it up because you can't expect.
Yeah, he's got to freshen it up.
You can't expect to just keep things the same and your situation to change. You've got to freshen that up. Scamacca was, I think he got 16 or 17 goals in Serie A last season.
For Sassuolo.
He knows where the goal is. He's physical. He can run. Get him in that team.
Yeah.
West Ham, they need to change something.
Doing the same thing, expecting different results, is the definition of insanity.
You very much.
Sorry.
Oh. Well, you did that to
I was actually glad that that's the quote I was looking for.
You did that for Albert Einstein, yeah.
Man.
Okay. Anyway,
I'm smarter than him.
So Man City. Man City.
No.
Man City traveled to Newcastle.
Best game of the weekend for me.
Yeah. It was sick. It was a good game.
Oh, breathtaking.
Some of the goals were like wonderful.
Sam Maximan, man. Let's have a conversation about it. Genuinely, do you guys rate him?
What do you mean, do you guys? Yes.
I honestly think, no, but he's not rated enough. I'm telling you, he would improve any top six side right now. I honestly think, he would get in at the very least into any top six squad right now. He's just quality, man.
I don't think he fits City's system, but...
Yeah, probably not. Made bar in City. I know he didn't score, but he was just making himself happen, man. He was electric.
And he got two assists, so...
And he's so sweet. Do you see he went to a toy shop and he bought all the kids toys?
He took young Newcastle fans to Lego.
Oh, I love that.
Do you know how expensive Lego is?
Yeah, Lego.
He's doing bits.
Oh, big him up for that one, man.
But I did just zone out for a second there, admittedly. I'm going to be honest that, here. Yeah. So the reason I'm saying that is because I don't know if you just... I just got his own back in when I don't know, I just heard Lego. Yeah, so I come back in. And so then I realised...
We know where Mark's
at. Then I realised, cool, I see the video, so we're on St. Maximin.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a player give Kyle Walker that type of game. Yeah. And I'm talking where Kyle Walker was physically struggling.
Yeah.
Struggling.
Blitzed
all
him
game.
Every time.
Blitzed him. I haven't every seen that time. Happen. For a long time.
It was
time.
Beautiful.
Like I'm talking pure and utter domination on that left side from St. Maximin.
And you know, this is the thing, yeah. When you're a player like St. Maximin, who just makes things happen like all the time, you need to be more consistent.
I think that's the thing for him. Yeah, that's consistency.
It's great. We just said it, yeah. Brentford. It's great when you turn up against Man United. St. Maximin, it's great when you turn up against Man City. But you need to turn up against Fulham. You need to turn up against Wolves, Bournemouth, and whoever else you're facing. We can't go and then you go on a run of four or five games now where you're not playing a big six team and you're just petered away. Newcastle fans are begging you to be this guy all the time.
Yeah, well, we'll find out in a couple of games. They've got, I'm not sure who their fourth game is, but like I said, they're away at Anfield in not very long. So we'll see. And actually, now just thinking about it, that's worrying me because he looked scarily good against City.
But a lot of their players look good. Bruno looks really good. I can't pronounce his surname the way Junior does.
Guimarães.
Yep. He's looking unbelievable.
They got Wolves next.
Wolves away, yeah.
That
Wolves
will
away.
Be a good
then
game.
Wolves away, Liverpool away. So we'll see where Newcastle really are at. But if they can replicate that performance.
But boy, I think it's massive to perform like that against City.
Listen,
honestly,
do you know
I think
how
it's
refreshing?
Incredible.
Listen, I say this all the time. That no one actually goes to City with the aim of actually giving them a game of football and really kind of creating that tactical system where you go at them rather than sitting deep and trying to absorb that pressure because it's actually impossible against City.
Yeah.
You actually give it back. Mm. And it was so refreshing to see that
from
a club outside of the traditional top six. Even some of the top six teams don't go at City.
No. Yeah.
It was so refreshing to see that. I loved it. And that's the type of game you get.
That's Eddie Howe's MO, though.
He's
let's
done
be honest.
Great, honestly.
He was criticised at Bournemouth for his lack of defensive structure in his teams, but his teams would score. Like, I remember 4-3 against Liverpool. So his teams would score, but they would concede. And this might be the first time it's happened this season, but... what a game it produced. And, you know, he's there and he's managing Callum Wilson and he's getting the best out of Callum Wilson.
You see the touch and then bang from Callum Wilson.
Yeah, that was unreal.
Unbelievable. I said it in the chat. He's got to be seriously in contention to be going to the World Cup.
But I think he might be injured again, you know. I don't know why. I saw my Newcastle fan, big up Kendall. I think she said that he might be injured. Which,
if
would
that's
be,
the case, that's then a blow. Yeah, that is a blow.
Because I'm sure she was saying that, you know, it's frustrating and it's like,
because he did come off, and I was wondering. I think he might be. And I actually genuinely, I remember thinking to myself, Callum Wilson, right? 70 minutes, he's just poured his heart and soul out onto the pitch. He's, but aside from that, he was actually really good. And I saw Chris Wood coming on, and that's the moment I thought,
Yeah,
I'm not sure about this anymore, man.
Yeah.
So that's how important Callum Wilson is to Newcastle.
And Joe Linton, honestly, like, the revolution, it's mad. It's actually revolution. Mad. He's quality. And Kieran Trippier.
That's classic Kieran Trippier, isn't
it? Yeah, classic.
I've never seen him do a lot of that for Spurs.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't.
He was never on free kicks, was he?
No, he was never on free kicks.
It was Ericsson.
It was Ericsson.
And you guys were holding back this beast.
I know. Because listen, the whole idea that Ericsson's this sick free kick taker, I don't know where Man United's got that from, you know. First man. Kieran Trippier,
what
yeah.
What a goal, bro. What a,
honestly, I was actually celebrating when that went in. I was like, oh my God, Kieran Trippier, I did not just do
at
that.
At that point, it's 3-1. You're thinking, oh my days, this is crazy. Mm.
He caught everyone out, because even I thought he was going into opposite corner.
Yeah.
Edison clearly thought that.
Yeah.
But you see the power.
Power, Edison precision.
Edison could have done no man's land, mate. Honestly, that was brilliant.
And then obviously in true City fashion, they come roaring back and get two quick goals.
That's the thing with City, man. They're just, I feel no other team can be 3-1 down and come back like City. I honestly don't. Maybe Liverpool as well, I'd say. But my goodness.
That KDB pass for the third goal is outrageous.
You know what? Someone tweeted this, and I genuinely, it's hard to believe that he means the majority of things that he does. Like,
that's a good way to say it.
The crazy thing about it is he definitely meant that.
100%.
And I even think, to the extent, like, he passed it through players' legs.
That pass was just...
His vision is outrageous.
Outrageous.
And then a nice little finish from everyone's favourite villain at City. But Erling Haaland, people were, like, saying, you know, like, it's tough for him, blah, blah, blah. But he's got 3 goals in 3 games and 1 assist.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
The only... It's not even... I don't know why I was going to say issue, but the only comment I would have on that... It's just, to me, it looks like he's actually struggling to get into the games.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But in terms of goal scoring,
that's his bread and butter.
Passed it with flying colours. But what I want to see a little bit more from with Haaland is getting involved in the game.
Yeah.
I know Lukaku got absolutely ridiculed for it last season, where he had 7 touches in the game. And you have Haaland having 8 against Bournemouth.
And it's not even talked about.
It's that part of his game that he's, especially playing in a Pep system.
Yeah.
Goal, let's just be honest, goals isn't enough. He has to actually get involved in
it's true,
playing football. But that will probably come. That will come with time.
I agree.
But he needs to do a little bit more, in my opinion, outside of scoring goals.
That's fair. We've come to the segment that everybody loves, Man of the Week. So I'll be going first this week. And I'm going to go for the Rolls-Royce defender, William Saliba, for his outrageous left foot curler into the top right hand side of the net.
Damn.
Oh, it was beautiful. I replayed that a bunch of times. And yeah, so William Saliba is my man of the week and should be yours.
I really, really
am I up next?
Really,
you're
really
next. I'm up next. Cool. I know who I'm going for.
I have no idea.
Just sang his praises. Saint-Maximin.
Yeah.
Just to see a player bring it to Kyle Walker and Man City like that. And I could have given it to a number of Newcastle players, Trippier, Wilson, even Nick Pope was good.
Mm.
But in terms of that performance, I can't not give it to him.
Fair. Tanya?
Can I give it to a manager?
Yeah.
It's random. I know, for me, I never do it with the intention of actually winning Man of the Week. I want to give it to, Graham Potter. I just think he's done a magnificent job at Brighton. He's killing it. I couldn't think of a player, so I just thought of Graham Potter. So,
fair.
There you go.
And the enigma that is Abdi.
Oh, has he given you one?
He has.
I was just about to drop him a message saying, no. This is who we picked.
Oh, who's he gone for?
Guys.
Gabriel Jesus.
He's definitely gone Jesus too.
This is my last voice note. Oh. My man of the week is
the player who I think is currently the best player in the world right now, and I have to give it to Neymar because he's balling out. 5 goals, 6 assists in 3 games again for PSG. Yeah, I know it's the so-called Farmers League, but ain't no one else got them kind of numbers. He's balling out every game, you know, leaving with something, leaving with a goal, assist every game. And at the weekend against Lille, they all spazzed on them, but him particularly, he was different class. And I don't care what anyone says right now, he's the best player in the world right now. Shout out to Neymar, that's my guy. I know Junior hates him, and I know Mark will probably say something stupid like Salah's better than him, but stop capping, Neymar's the guy. That's my man of the week. Take care, guys.
Bruv, this guy...
Do you know who is it?
First of all, bruv, you don't need to name drop me in every single sentence. Yeah, just leave me out of one of them. Second of all, bro, just say Neymar, man. You just waffled for about 60 seconds.
They're eating, though. Yeah, PSG, I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to eat in French League. But what I will say is that the new manager that they have, I can't pronounce...
He's doing well.
He looks like he's doing
very well. What they've done, PSG, is just they've actually gone for a proper manager. They haven't gone for a name.
Yeah.
And it's working.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the champs. But that brings a close to...
Champions League draw next week, right?
Yeah, it's this or next week, yeah.
My God. Sorry, Junior, I forgot. Yeah.
That's all right, man. I'm looking forward to the Europa League, winning a trophy. You can't relate, it's fine.
Yeah, we're not winning Champions League, boy.
You can't rattle me. That is unrattable.
Listen,
I didn't realize a word.
Unrattable
or whatever.
Unrattable.
And with that, we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later. Top of the League!
Sports Social Podcast Network.